Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'd like to welcome you to the Now Sabbath Gathering online ministry. It is a pleasure to be here with you, and I trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us in a way that our message will embrace you and empower you to be able to deal with different issues and circumstances that comes into your life. Let us pray. Almighty everlasting Creator, we give you thanks and we give you praise. For you have opened our eyes and you opened my eyes to your words that you spoke. And I just thank you. And now, let us see what the Holy Spirit has to say us from the scriptures and from that which we have prepared. In the name of the Messiah, amen. Our title today is Let the Dead Bury the Dead. And it's found in Luke and in Matthew. And we will begin the discussion today. What did Jesus mean when he said, let the dead bury the dead? Well, I heard this for years, so through the 50s when I was a little kid. And the people in my community was transitioning out because they was old. It was their time. And I would hear that from the pulpit, and then I would hear that from people. David would say, let the dead bury the dead. And I used to wonder, how is a dead person going to bury a dead person? And back then, it was one of those situations where you were told you don't ask. You definitely don't ask God. You don't ask questions. You just listen. And they used to have a saying, it's better to be seen than heard. And all kinds of sayings that they had back then that meant for you not to ask questions. Now, what I concluded as a little kid, that where that they use it, it does not make good sense. And because it implies that we shouldn't spend our time and energy with dead on the dead, that we should only spend our time and energy on that which was living people, not dead people. And I couldn't understand it because they tell you that you honor your father and your mother, that the days will be long. But now they're saying that let the dead bury the dead. And that's in two. And we take a look at in Matthew 22 is where you will find it. And then in Luke 9:60, you'll find it. And sometimes, you have to sit with scripture in order to understand its meaning. And the meaning changes as well. Now think about it. We interpret the scripture, or the scripture is interpreted for us, a lot of people. It is the latter. We rather wait for somebody to interpret it for us than for us to sit down with that scripture, read it, meditate and reflect on it, and open our spiritual eyes and ears so we may hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. And then if you look at it, it says, Matthew 8 says, another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Now, again, you honor your father. And maybe this was one of the ways that you honored him. You went and buried him. But Jesus said to him, follow me, and allow the dead to bury their own dead. And I used to, as a child, again, had the question, how is that possible? That is not possible. When you look at it strictly through the natural lens, but whenever you look at it another way, it becomes possible. Especially when you look at it from the spiritual perspective, it becomes possible. Why did I say that? Let's sit with the scripture for a moment, and let's say, what did he say? Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. And it was a request. Now, what is the basis for the request? What's that foundation? And you start looking and you start your research and you start asking the question. And one of the things is that the Jewish custom at that time, and for example, Jesus again said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. I mean, the disciples said that, who became a disciple, committed himself to the Lord. Jesus said, follow me. But the man replied, now, that's, who does that sound like? That sounds like you, sound like me. Whenever maybe we're in church in a setting where we are being called upon to do something in the name of the Lord. But we are too busy. Busy doing what? Becomes the question. Now here's the one that reconciles you back to the Creator, and you're telling them that you don't have time because you're too busy. You have to go do something. Now, there has to be another explanation for this, for why the man wants to do that. Now, let's go back. And you see, when you start looking at the culture at that time, in the society, in the place that this was written and the people it was written to, what do you see? You see that they had a culture, a tradition back at that time, and that the son must do in order to what? Obtain the inheritance from the father. He had to bury the father before he could get the inheritance. That makes more sense than what I was told. And then the next thing that they did, they remained near the body of their father for up to a year to rebury the bones. And that was a practice that some Jewish communities had at the time that this was written. And in any event, if we wanted to look at it, Jesus answers them. What did Jesus answer me? What was he saying to those that he was reaching out to? What was he addressing? When we think about it, we put tradition before we put the Creator. We put tradition before we put the Messiah. You say, now, We don't normally do that. We might not normally do it, but we do it. For example, you feel called, but you feel that you're not quite ready to respond to that call because you have to go do something else for someone else. And whenever you go do that, what are you doing? You are not responding to the spiritual side. You're responding to the flesh. Are you responding to a tradition? You say, now how is that so? I want you to just think for a moment. Think of the times whenever the Holy Spirit, that little quiet voice, called you to do something. And you, in so many words, responded, right now I have to do this. Right now I don't really have time to do that. Right now, that, well, doesn't make sense because my grandma believed this. I believe that, which was in conflict with what Jesus said, the calling on your life. What this young man was, Jesus was calling the 12. And he called him out to come and be one of his disciples. But he was telling him, look, I cannot do it right now because I have to go take care of my father. Why? Because my inheritance, in order for me to get my inheritance, I must go and take care of my earthly father, burial. And there's other traditions and practices that community had at the time. And what was the other one? They reburied bones after a year. So now here you're talking about you don't really have time. You want to go and rebury your father's bones. So you are doing what for a whole year, a solid year? You don't have time. Think about it. What said, okay, now, he was calling you to help them to do what the Father had called him to do or sent him to do. And in sending him to do that, he had a sense of urgency. And it's just like people will call us. People will give you an idea or give you a suggestion. And what happened is you put it off. I know in my life I've done that. Oh, well, I don't have time right now. I will try me back later and maybe I can do it. And even in ministry, I've done it even in ministry. I looked at self, what I gained from this, in terms of, if you want to look at it in terms of ego, all of that, that was part of it. The tradition was the other part. And the selfishness was another. What that part of meant that I was still not fully persuaded that I should follow the Messiah, much less follow his teaching. And, you know, whenever I start thinking about that scripture from that perspective, that made sense. That dead, buried the dead. And basically what I was saying was that I don't have time, Jesus, to do what you're calling me to do. I will do it later. But Jesus had a mission. He couldn't put his mission on hold to allow anyone to go and do like that, the person that he had called. That person wanted to put it on hold. It would have been at least a year if he was in that part of that tradition where they were reburying the bones after a year of their father. That was one of their practice. So it made more sense that Jesus was dealing with the impact or the influence that tradition has on our lives. And if he's calling you to be his disciple and you are steeped in tradition, there's a conflict there. And that's why he made it clear. Let the dead bury the dead. And at that time, that person that he was calling to be one of his disciples, he understood what Jesus was saying. Don't worry about it. Jesus would have taken care of all of that for him. He just understood his faith, where his faith was. Now, that was one, tradition. Tradition has caused a lot of us to stumble, and our own self-desires have caused us to stumble as well. Because we put ourselves, and the scripture is clear, where your treasures, where your heart is. Where is your heart? What's in your heart? And you're supposed to love God with all your heart, your mind, et cetera, et cetera. And if you don't have that in your heart, the ability to reach out to others, you don't have the ability to know. Now, you say, know what? To know and understand what the meaning of that word is. See, Jesus was given to the disciples, the people that was following him, the words that the Creator had given him to give them. And if they was doubting in any way, at any time, if they had any doubt in their minds that the words that Jesus was speaking, if they thought that it was just Jesus talking, and not he was giving us the word from the Creator, then Jesus, that would have been another problem. That person that he was calling, were not mind and ears were not been open to hear or see what he was, the true meaning of what he was saying, and to see beyond the physical. And whenever I say see beyond the physical, a lot of us, we just look at what we experience with our five senses. And if we just look at what we experience with our five senses and stop there, we will never get past and come into understanding of what the word is really saying and the meaning of what Jesus is saying to us. Take the gospel message. For example, I never would have stepped out of faith and did some of the things that I've done. I never would have stepped out of faith at that time when the young man pulled the pistol and pointed at me. My faith said that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I knew who made that statement and why that statement was made. And I released the power and authority that was in that statement at that time, whenever, I think that was in 1996, whenever I was going to one of my members, I had passed, and I was going to their house, and there was snow everywhere. And what happened was, I had to walk past this young man. It was a couple of them. They were throwing snowballs at people. And I made it clear that I was not the one. And then on my way back past him, that's whenever, I assume his friends got on him and was laughing at him. That's when he jumped out and pulled the pistol on me and pointed it to me. And I had the faith enough to pray. And it was like, I just saw him out there standing in the middle of the street, his lips moving. Now, if I would have been steeped in tradition and I didn't have a weapon, I probably would have tried to run. There was snow and ice everywhere. I would have slipped. And if he really was going to shoot, he would have shot because there was nowhere to run. And I just walked on away. That's what I mean about the tradition would have caused me to stand there and mouth back at the young man who had the weapon. Because I could see beyond my five senses, and I knew what the word said. I stood on the word. And that in itself is what gave me the strength, the courage to do things the way, do things that day the way I did them. And as we think about, let the dead bury the dead. And if we look at it in terms of Jesus, we're talking about your tradition is blocking you from following me. And what I have to offer you is greater than anything you could get from that tradition. The other thing is we wind up looking at things through our own eyes, through our own desires, and we tell to do this, or I have to do that. And sometimes we don't just come out and say it in those terms in that way, but yet that's what the meaning is of the statements that we are making in response to a call. And it's like whenever I have gotten calls in the past, years ago, and my thing was, that can't be, that little voice can't not be the spirit, can't be God speaking to me. No. And what does that do? That blocked my being a blessing to someone else. And not only that, it blocked my blessing. Because what the message that I was being given was to carry it forth and share it with others. And so now, let the dead bury the dead. Now, some people say, you stretching it. That's all right. That's where I am with my relationship with my God, my Elohim, my Creator, my Messiah. That and the Holy Spirit has led me to that truth. And I classify it as truth because it is written and it lines up with the word of the Creator. And because at that time, they were practicing, one, you had to be bury your father in order for you to get your inheritance. Two, and what did that do? That put material things above the spiritual things gifted that the Messiah had to give those individuals he was calling. And the same applies to us today. We are called. We are chosen out of the ones that was called, we get chosen. And some of the reason that some of us are not chosen is because we are steeped in tradition. Tradition. We cannot open our hearts and our minds and to receive the message that would allow us to move past that mountain. I'm calling them mountains because it's there blocking the pathway. So we need to think about scripture, think about the meaning, look at what was happening at that time, what the culture. And he was speaking to people who were living at that time, and they were being bound by certain traditions, certain experiences, certain reasons, certain philosophies, certain desires that they had. We have to, when we read the scripture, that's why you may read it today and it will say one thing to you. Read it tomorrow and it will say another thing to you, because your situation and circumstances have changed. Nothing remains the same. And I had to learn that. And then learning it, that's why I now look for meaning beyond. I read, why was this written? What was the purpose of who was it written to? And whenever I started looking at things through those lens, the word became more meaningful to me. And in some cases, some people may say the word makes sense to you. And for me as a child, I just couldn't understand why they say, let the dead bury the dead. But then you tell me that you have to honor your father. But now Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And we take things literally. And I'm not saying now that the Bible is not, but I'm saying take it literally, but also look beyond what is written on that page. And as you look beyond what is written, you begin to gain an in-depth understanding of what is being said and how you're able to use what you read. It's not just about reading stuff for the sake of reading it. It is you reading it for the sake of being able to use it whenever you are confronted by a certain situation or certain circumstances. For example, move the mountain. Now you sit there and say, how am I going to move that mountain? But mountain might be something happening in your community that's having a negative impact on the people. And you want to relieve that from that community. How do you go about that? Prayer is one way of going about it. Other one is, if you have faith, faith as a mustard seed, and a mustard seed is real small, but it's, which means you don't need a whole lot of faith. Which God gave you a little faith, and you study the word, and your faith will grow. And because of that, you'll be able to confront whatever it is that you feel that needs to be changed. For example, if you look at the Black Lives Matter movement, which was in our time, and you look at the Civil Rights movement, I mean, it took faith. It took a belief that was in something beyond man, something beyond ourselves. And that, because we had that faith, we're able to move those obstacles or those mountains that man had placed in our path. Now we come to The format is 30 minutes of message and 15 plus minutes of questions and answers. We do have one person. I open the mic for that person to see if they have any comments that they'd like to make or if they take exception to anything that was said. I guess that person has their phone on mute, like I usually do. I remember on my my prayer line, my mama's relatives, my cousins on my mama's side, I had to pray, and I was praying that morning, and I just was praying up a storm, as they say, and I happened to look down. It was on mute. And I was wondering why they were moving on to the next person. And my cousin called me later and told me that nobody could hear me. And that's when I explained to them that I had the phone on mute. So, again, do we have any comment or question? Discussion part is what makes the richness of the message, because whenever two or more persons are having a discussion, not a debate, a discussion, and when they're talking about their relationship with the Creator and what that scripture has said to them, that means you got other people who are listening and they are being empowered, let's put it that way. And if anybody said anything or if I said something that didn't make sense, this is a time to make the correction or bring it to my attention, and correction will be made, because we don't want to cause anybody to stumble. And we don't want to give out any false teaching, anything that will cause a person to fall away from the faith. And now, if there is no questions or no comments, I just hope and pray that what has been said thus far, that one has been able to gain some insight that they didn't have before, or that will cause them to do their research and look the scripture up for yourself. Matthew 8:22, and what I do with it. And the other one is in the book of Luke. And look it up. Sit with the scripture. Sit with it and see what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. And maybe next week or the week after, call in and bring to our attention. The second one where it is Luke 9:59. 60. And what we are talking about is let the dead bury the dead. And we are looking to see what did Jesus mean by that. And because it started out with the fact that I've heard this for years when I was a little kid, and I didn't understand it then, and I wasn't willing to accept it at that point. And what caused me to do was to do a little research and see what was going on at the time that Jesus made that statement, and what was that statement addressing. And it was put in a way to the man that raised the question, that the way that the man could understand. So for next week, we'll be here, and anything that was said on any of these Sabbath gatherings, write it down so you won't forget it. And during the last 15 minutes, bring it up, and we will have a discussion, not a debate, but a discussion. And the discussion will be based on our experience and what the Holy Spirit has revealed to you as a result of the message that you received. And thank you for listening. And next week, we'll be back at 5 o'clock. Let us pray. Almighty, everlasting Creator, we call on you because you are the living Creator. You are the living being. You are the living God. You are the one that has not given up on your people, whom you made it clear that the earth was for the children of men. And even though we have not been good stewards at times, you still have not turned away from us. It was us turning away from you. But yet, you still loved us enough that you sent your Son to reconcile us back to you. And not only to reconcile us back to you, but to leave a process for us to follow, that we may constantly renew our mind, and we may constantly confess our sins and repent and be reconciled back to you. We thank you and praise you in the name of your beloved Son. Shalom, shalom.